Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
It's so good to be here with you. Just a quick update, Pastor George and Cheryl are in Thailand right now. They're ministering with Ajay and Nancy, who are our missionaries there. And Ajay and Nancy are, they're legends on the field. They're legends in our church. I don't know if you don't know them. Nancy grew up here at our church. And we launched her and sent her to Thailand, and she fell in love with some Thai guy over there named Ajay, and they decided to have a home of hope and take in young ladies who didn't have a place to live, and then they started a boys' home. How many have been over to see them? I've been there. Yeah, you guys have been there enough. Yeah, that's good. Anyway, such a beautiful ministry there. And just so you know, just so you understand, just it gives us a global picture. A lot of times you come to church and you're like, we come to Wednesdays, we come to Sundays, and we drink coffee here, and then we go home. Listen, what we do with our resources here is we help them. And they have built an orphanage, and they have a little over 100 boys. And these boys are rescued from, many of them have been sold from their parents or orphans. They have no place to live, and they take them in, and they give them an education, and they love them, and they clean them up physically and spiritually, and then they grow up in a home that loves Jesus, and all of a sudden, then they move from that place, and they have a Bible school, and then they go through Bible school, and then God lays it on their heart and calls some of them to be pastors, and they go and plant churches all up in the hills of Thailand, and then the cycle just continues. So anyway, it's a great ministry, just so you know. That's what we do here at the church. But one of the reasons I thought of that is when I was in Thailand, we took a mission trip there, and I had some teenagers with me. And because we're talking about the authority of the believer, one evening we were sitting down and I was doing devotion with the teenagers. And this, one of the gals that was with us, she'd had a rough life, and she began to just tremble and shake and cry. And she took off running. Now, we're in the middle, like tucked away in this dark place in between a couple fields in the middle of Thailand. The last thing I want to do is lose one of the students in the hills of Thailand. Say, you know, parents, I'm sorry, but she's up there somewhere, you know. So she took off running. And a couple of my wife and another one of the women leaders took off after her. And they had to physically restrain her in the middle of their compound that there it's gated in. They had to physically restrain her. And I went out there, and I was 24 years old, been through Bible College, had been around a little bit, but not fully understanding spiritual authority. I was out there, and this poor girl was just crying and shaking and rocking back and forth. And I said, can you go get Ajay, or can you go get Nancy? Now, Nancy has worked with orphans and children, and she's been there for years and years. And she comes over, and this girl was, she was saying stuff about herself that was very negative, very hurtful, about people don't love her, and it felt very gibberish. But Nancy, I'll never forget it. She sat down in the dirt of this grass we were sitting in, this yard we were sitting in. She said it was dirty, and she sat down and she said, "Sweetheart, look at me. Sweetheart, look at me. Look at me." She got her attention. And she said, "In the name of Jesus, peace." And it was like someone, really just ministers me, but someone just laid, it was like God laid a blanket of peace over this young lady. She stopped crying, she stopped shaking. And then Nancy began to minister to her. And what it was, there was a spirit of rejection on this young girl. And it just came out, and she didn't know how to deal with it. And Nancy took authority over it, ministered to her, and brought deliverance to her life. Because Nancy walked in a measure of authority that was significant and impacted this young girl's life. And I believe when we walk in authority, it looks like something. It should look like something. So I can tell you all day long, listen, if I was a millionaire, it would look like I was a millionaire. Let me tell you that. It looks like something, but when we walk in the authority of God, it looks like something. And I believe when Jesus was ministering to people, he taught with authority, and they said, who is this man that's teaching with authority? Because it was noticeable. You knew something was different about him. And we're going to look at that tonight. But I want you to think of this. Authority looks like something. It's not just a word. It's an action. And someone who carries authority looks like they carry authority. Now, and depending, and which we're going to talk more about, depending on which authority you are under will determine the manifestation of that authority through your life. And when we're under the authority of God, our lives should have the element of the miraculous. I really believe that. And here's just another thought. And I'm going to answer one question for you tonight. Because we're continuing this series, and we don't want to try to pack it all into one. I'm just going to answer one question to you tonight, and where does our authority come from? But something to understand, our authority cannot be turned on or turned off. It's not a light switch that we flip on or we flip off. It's always available to us as believers. So when I go to the grocery store, I'm walking in the authority. When I'm picking out bananas, I'm picking out bananas in the authority of God. When I have a conversation with you, I'm having a conversation with you under the authority of God. When we get into conversations, everything that you and I do when we are under God's authority, we are doing under the authority of God. And so I believe there is a measure of the miraculous that should be with us at all times. Now, whether that's picking out bananas or not, I'm not for sure. Maybe God would lead us to the perfect banana bunch. I'm not for sure. Yeah, I believe it too. Yeah, that's right. But I believe when we walk in God's authority, there is the miraculous in every area of our life. I want to challenge us on that tonight. Because sometimes we lose sight of we serve a miraculous God. And we think the God that we serve is the God that we meet on Sundays, which is still miraculous. And then we leave him in the church and we get in our car and we drive home and then we live the natural world during the week and we can't wait to come back to the miraculous. I don't think that is the way God wanted it to be. And it's definitely not the way that Jesus lived his life. So walking in the miraculous is proof that you're walking under God's authority. I just want you to think about that just for a moment. Now, that doesn't mean that as you walk by, your shadow heals people and raises the dead geese that we hit out here in the car or something else. You're like, wow, my shadow healed the geese. It doesn't have to be that, but it can be that. I don't know about the goose, but people definitely. But it does mean that when you're having a conversation with someone, all of a sudden you begin to think differently about everything that you do. When you walk in the grocery store, you walk a little differently because you realize who I am matters. When you walk in a restaurant, you realize I am carrying the authority of God. So things start your conversations start to change. So when the waitress walks up and all of a sudden you're prompted in your heart to ask her about her grandfather, that means you're walking the authority of God and you're walking in the miraculous. That's happened to my wife and I many different times. When we go somewhere or we sit down, I'll just have a strange thought to ask someone. Just a random thought. Hey, do you have a grandpa? And they'll look at you. One gentleman looked at me and he thought, I do. He's just passed away, actually. I thought, yeah, you know, Lord laid that on my heart. And there's an element of the miraculous that's available to us. So it can be wisdom, it can be discernment, it can be advice, it could be a word of knowledge. You, if you're a businessman, wherever you are in your workplace, everyone else can be freaked out over a problem, and all of a sudden you have an idea that no one else has because you're walking under the authority of God. It looks like something. But it's of utmost importance for us to understand our authority and what it actually means, because we hear it a lot. And I believe God wants to reveal something to us tonight. So what does this mean? We walk in the authority of the one who gave us the authority. Now, we would all say Jesus had authority. We would all say that, and we know that. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 1, If you have your Bibles, pull it up. Mark chapter 1, looking at verse 27. We're going to project it up here. And this is one of the key verses on understanding your authority. Now, just so you know, our Wednesday nights continue to be a time to go deeper. We want to teach on things that will equip us as believers to be everything God's called us to be. So, which means we're going to move a little slower through some scriptures in a more teaching type of method and style. So just so you know, that's what I'm going to be doing tonight. So Mark chapter 1, verse 27, it says this: "Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this?'" So remember, Jesus is talking. I tell you what. Yeah, no, I keep reading. So what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, everyone say authority, he commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. So these are things they had never seen before. Right before that passage, Jesus cast an unclean spirit out. They had never seen this before. They had never seen this. A man walks on the scenes. This person is tormented. They're bent over. You read the scriptures. There's time and time and time again of tormenting unclean spirits. Jesus walks on the scene. He speaks to the person. The person's insane. The person is tormented. And he says, "Unclean spirit, come out." And it leaves immediately. And they say, "Wow. This is one who has authority." And this was what they saw in Jesus. So it looked like something. Now here's the question for us. Wouldn't it be great if all of us followers walked in that type of authority? Imagine a world where we walk in that type of authority. I actually believe it's available. What if people down the road, what if you're working out at the YMCA, and you're working out, and you're doing your best, and someone starts telling you about someone who's tormented, or you see someone who's tormented, or someone over there at the grocery store at King Supers, and there's a person who's tormented. They just can't get over something. You can tell that something is wrong with them, and people don't know what to do. And so the response of this immediate Arvada area is, you know what? You should go over to that church because they have authority over things like this. And we're known that we are people of authority. I had coffee with one of our missionaries, Salik Barkat, in Pakistan a couple weeks ago. I'm really praying about getting over there next year and praying about going with a couple folks. I asked Pastor Blake if he'd go with me, and so pray that God tells him yes. That would be great to go. I really want to get over there and minister there with him. But Salik Barkat has a church. And there's a lot of strongholds there. And there was one woman in the community that she would have seizures, and then she would pass out and be totally unconscious for sometimes minutes, but sometimes hours. And they took her to different healers. The doctor couldn't heal her. They tried different witchcraft stuff. It just wouldn't work. And so someone in the community said, "You ought to take her to that church." So they took this woman to the church. And she came in on the Sunday. She came up and she wanted them to pray. And the whole family was there. They laid their hands on this woman. They prayed. And she was delivered from an unclean spirit, a tormenting spirit. And she's never had a seizure. God totally healed her. And guess what? Her whole family got saved immediately. Because they understood what it meant to have authority. And listen, we live in a world, I know it gets a little, you know, funny and well, Jason, what are you talking about? We live in a world where there is God and there is Satan. There are demons and there are angels. That's the reality we live in. Whether we like it or not, if you ignore it, it's still going to be there. And so God wants us to be aware of that, but understand who we are in Him. So I believe God wants to walk in that same authority, but I believe he wants us to understand what the authority is. And I believe once we understand what the authority is, we will walk in a greater authority. Just on a side note, understanding spiritual authority, in the Bible it actually mentions three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and actually Lucifer was one of the archangels. And as I was studying for this, I had this thought. I never thought of it before. As I was studying for this, I thought, you know, when Lucifer fell, Scripture says that he took one-third of the angels with him, and one-third fell. And I thought, so there's three archangels, which they're ruling, reigning angels, which they are lead angels over the other angels. Is it possible that Lucifer oversaw a third, Michael oversaw a third, and Gabriel oversaw a third? And so when Lucifer fell, he took the third that he oversaw. It's interesting. I never thought of that. You may not find that interesting, but I thought it was really neat. Well, not neat because he fell, but it was just, I had never thought of it before. Yeah, wasn't it great that they fell? No, that's what I'm saying. And I guess the reason why I'm saying that is I believe there's more about spiritual authority than what we're aware of. That's what I'm saying. There are more things that we haven't discovered or understood yet of spiritual authority in the world we live in, our spiritual authority as believers. And we know that Jesus walked in authority, and we know, secondly, that he gave his authority away, that he also gave authority to people. Luke 9:1 says this, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over how many demons? All demons." Now, this isn't a demon chase tonight, but this is important to understand your authority. He gave them authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now, I don't know about you, but that looks like a lot of fun. I mean, to walk in that would be a lot of fun. Now, how many would love for that to be the case for you? I would love that. I would love that. And I know some of you are saying, Jason, well, I have that authority. Listen, I understand what you're saying, where you're coming from, but I want to ask you the question. Let me see it then. Show me the money. Let me see it. And I'm asking you that question because I don't want to go around saying, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got the authority, but it never looks like anything. It's important that when we look into Scripture and we just don't triumphantly always declare, amen, I'm walking in authority. The question is, evaluate yourself. Are you walking in authority? Let the word challenge you. Let it shape you. Let it cut you. And all of us are going to grow in this all of our lives. So I believe that there are things about authority that we don't understand. So I want to answer this one question that I said earlier. Where do we get it? And I think once we answer this, it will help us walk in our authority tonight and hopefully after this as well. Next week, I'm going to be talking about two questions. How do we use our authority? And if we have time, how do we lose it? But where do we get it? The first question really should be, where did Jesus get his authority from? That's the first question. And you may think Jesus didn't get it from anywhere, but he actually did. Actually, Jesus received his authority from somewhere. Matthew 28:18 says this, "Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given," everyone say given, "to me in heaven and on earth." Now, does anyone know what the next verse is? Go ahead and put it up. The next verse is the Great Commission. "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations." Now, just stop for a moment. It says, "Go, therefore," meaning because authority, Jesus is saying, all authority has been given to me. You go, therefore. In other words, because all authority has been given to me, you can go now and make disciples of all the nations. You can baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can teach them to observe all things I've commanded you to do. And listen, just you need to remember, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Wherever you go, because Jesus said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. So there's no corner, there's no basement, there's no pocket that he doesn't have authority over. So therefore, wherever you go, I am with you always. You have my authority. Because his authority had been given to him. So in order to answer the question, where do we get our authority from? We need to answer the question, where did Jesus get it from? And according to Scripture, someone gave Jesus his authority. And I know we all know who that is. But it's the same today. Someone gave authority to people who have it today. Someone gave you and I our authority. And here's another thought I want you to hear about our authority. Authority is not earned. Contrary to popular belief, it's not earned. You cannot earn authority. It's a gift. It's given by God to you. But it's also important to remember it's given to the responsible and it's taken from the irresponsible. But it's still important that we understand how we received it. It was not earned. So for us as a church, to understand authority as we think through spiritual authority even more, we as pastors have been given authority to do what we do. If someone walked in this front door and began to say, hey, everyone over here, I want to teach you from God's word. I'm going to tell you about, we would say, excuse me, you can leave. Why? Because he hasn't been given the authority to be the one to teach and to share from God's word to the congregation. He hasn't been given the authority. So there was this, when I came on staff in 2003, I was given the authority. Pastor George hired me. He said, Jason, I'm hiring you to lead the youth. In other words, I give you the authority to lead the teenagers. Okay, great. And then I became the worship pastor. The same thing. I want you to take responsibility, and I'm giving you authority to become the worship pastor. All of a sudden, Pastor George gave me authority to do one thing. He gave me authority to do the other thing. And then I was given the authority to teach you today. Pastor George has made me, or asked me to be one of the pastors, as he did Pastor Blake, as he did Pastor Rod, and all of us other leaders in the church. But he gave me the authority to teach you. Now, if he did not give me the authority to teach you, and I just decided while he's up preaching one Sunday, I said, hey, PG, would you mind if I get up and just share some thoughts? Do you think he'd like for me to do that? No. For one, he'd be totally out of order. But secondly, he had not given me the authority to do it. But so Pastor George gave me the authority. But guess what? Pastor George's authority was given to him by the elders of the church. So Pastor George didn't wake up one day and said, you know what? I'm going to take that church over. The elders asked him to take the church over. He was given the authority. So I want you just to see how spiritual authority works. But here's the other side. The authority the elders gave to Pastor George did not come from them. It came from God. So there is a authority, a line of authority that works down, and we need to understand that Jesus got his authority from God. He was given that authority, just like the leaders of the church are given their authority. They don't earn it. Yes, it's given to the responsible. It's proven that they can handle it, but it's not earned. Let's look at John chapter 12, verse 49. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command." Now I want you to look at this for a second. This is Jesus, the right hand of the Father. All creation was made through him and by him. He is the man. He is God completely. He says this. He sent me and gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. He didn't say, he sent me to tell you whatever I wanted. He didn't say, but it was very specific. I've come to whatever God wants me to say, I'm going to say. Whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do. There's only one authority in all of the universe that was not delegated, and that was God's. God's authority was not given to him by anyone. He is authority, and no one gave it to him. So all the authority Jesus walked in when he walked the earth was delegated to him by the Father. It was given to him by the Father. It's important for us to understand this. It's important for us, and you know, it might be splitting hairs, but it's important Because as we're going to continue just over the next couple of minutes, you're going to see it's all going to come together. And when we say in Jesus' name, when we're praying and we say in the name of Jesus, it's actually the Father's authority that we're praying in that He gave to Jesus. So let's look at John 14:10. It says, Jesus talking to His disciples, He says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father? And the Father is in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the work." Look at the last part of that verse for a moment. The Father who dwells in me does the work. So when people came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, we love what you just said," Jesus said, "I didn't say anything that I haven't heard the Father say. Jesus, your miracles, you healed them and you raised that one from the dead. You cleansed that leopard. You raised that one from being paralyzed and gave strength back in their legs." And He says, "Well, I don't do anything that I haven't seen the Father do. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say." He always turned the focus back to the Father because the Father is the one who gave Him His authority. So this hopefully this should help us begin to see our authority for us as believers. So when you pray for the sick, and Carl and Lonnie are here, and that's part of their ministry and part of our healing room ministry here at the church. When we pray for the sick, it's the Father who does the work. It's not you. So you can huff and puff and try to blow that demon's house down all you want. But listen, it's not about you huffing and puffing. You can jump up and jump off the wall and swing and slap them in the head with the Bible and all kinds of stuff. It doesn't matter. It's the Father who does the work. When you pray against a demonic spirit, and I've had the great privilege of doing that in my life, of taking authority over a demonic spirit and in the name of Jesus. And even if I didn't totally understand this when I was younger, I've seen it happen. And it wasn't, "Ooh, I'm scared of Jason." It was, "I'm scared of the authority of the Father that resides in Jason because of Jesus. So therefore, when I speak, it is the Father speaking." So I really want you to understand this today. When we are speaking to demonic spirits, it's the Father who is speaking. To me, this is the key to understanding our authority in the world. We're walking in the Father's authority. Jesus asked the disciples this question at the beginning of the passage that we just read. He says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" In other words, me and the Father are one. Do you not believe that? Because that's the key of understanding His authority. So my question to you today is this. Do you not believe that the Father is in you? And that you are in the Father. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are in the Father and the Father is in you? Jesus asked the question. He asked the disciples that because that was very important for them to understand spiritual authority. That I believe that if we understand that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, that it would completely change the way we walk in our lives. It would change how we carry ourselves. It would change how we do business. It would change our confidence level. It would change how we walk in the grocery store. And we would be looking all the time for the miraculous to happen. We would always be open for the miraculous. All of a sudden we'll walk by someone and just a little word drops in our heart, give them $20. And you respond, and all of a sudden, you are moving in the miraculous because you were coming in line with the miracle God, the supernatural God. And in every sense of the way, that's a very small illustration of how God can use us when we're leading, when we're teaching in a school, when we're doing ministry, when we need strategy, whatever it is, we are walking in the authority of God. Therefore, we should be walking in a measure of the miraculous. And I believe it's always there. I just think sometimes we don't stop and give God the time to speak to us. When's the last time before you went into work, before you walked into your child's bedroom, God, use me in the miraculous right now. Use me in the miraculous. And then look for the opportunities, listen for the voice, listen for the leading. God wants us to walk in that authority. Jesus did all this because of the Father. John 16, 13 through 15. Jesus said, however, when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. And actually what you can do, you can, the word authority and will, you can swap, you can interchange. He will not speak on his own will, in other words, on his own agenda. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So notice there that it's not, the Spirit is not going to tell you what Jesus says. The Spirit's going to tell you what the Father says. So for Jesus is under the Father's authority. The Holy Spirit is under the Father's authority. But they're all flowing and functioning together. And this is, and then he goes on to say, he will glorify me. Now, Jesus clarifies just a moment what this means. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things, and he clarifies, just hang on a second, he says, but all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take care of mine and declare it to you. So again, it's all about the Father. So if Jesus and the Holy Spirit function under God's authority, then naturally, you and I, as followers of Jesus and temples of the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, we should also. So if you are in Christ, you are under the authority of God. If you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then you have the authority of God dwelling in you. Both of them are submitted to the Father's authority and walk in it. So do you. And I believe this is the key to faith and understanding authority. I think a lot of times it's not about our faith. I think it's about us understanding our authority. I think when we pray for someone, it's not about, I've got to conjure up faith. If I could just get my faith going. You know, kind of like one of those old generators. I crank it fast enough, I can make the light bulb come on. It's not that way. It's understanding who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a son and daughter of God, that you have the authority of the Father in you. And that authority is wanting to ooze out in your life. And it's not you. It's not how perfect you are. It's not how beautiful you are. It's not how clever you are. It's how much you are willing to allow that authority to walk through your life. So when I'll tell you this one story, and I'm sure many of you have some of these as well. I was in the Philippines, and Cheryl and I were, and we were ministering to this young gal we were there with Russ Fraze actually as well. And I preached that night, and I'm telling you, it was the worst message I've ever preached in my life. It was terrible. It was just terrible. you would have walked out if you were there. You'd be like, this is boring, I'm out here. But anyway, but don't do that now, because that would really hurt my feelings. But no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Just stay here. Never mind. Anyway, we did some ministry time at the end, and we were praying for this gal. And all of a sudden, and it's just like in Scripture, it says that many times these unclean spirits would throw a person to the ground. This young lady hit the ground. And she began speaking. And I don't say this to alarm you or to glorify this in any way, just it's understanding spiritual authority. She began speaking in two different voices. One was a precious young girl just saying, I'm sorry. Another voice that was a male voice was saying, you'll never be good enough. You're filthy. You're terrible. Two voices. Now, I knew there were two voices. I didn't understand the language. And we were there with one of our missionaries. I said, what is she saying? And she said, they're two, she was like, her face, she was like, there's two voices going on and they're saying two different things. I said, okay. So we leaned over and we began to pray. We didn't huff and puff and shout. I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this spirit. I didn't know the name of it. Some people say, you got to name it, then it'll come out. I didn't know the name. I just took authority over it. And all of a sudden, peace came over this young girl. She began to weep. She began to be ministered to by this woman we were with who spoke her language. And I was able to see that when I speak, when I tell a demonic spirit to shut its mouth, that God is telling that demonic spirit to shut its mouth because it's the will of God that his mouth would be shut. And it's beautiful. And you begin to see this. And you begin. Now, I'm not telling you this that we go chasing demons behind every corner and every light bulb and all that. Like, forget that. But when the opportunity presents itself, walk in your authority. Understand that. Whether that's a spirit of fear in your house, whatever it is, just walk in your authority. Begin to understand who you are. And so we can walk in the same authority as Jesus walked in. And it's so important for us to understand where our authority comes from. Again, remember, our authority is a gift. It's not given. It's given, it's not earned. God doesn't go through a checklist and say, hey, do you have this? Oh, you did this, you jumped through that hoop. Okay, now you can have my authority. Now, if you're irresponsible, it can be taken away, but it is given to the responsible, but it's still a gift. And so I think God wants us to be people who walk in authority. And I know that's a very simple idea tonight, but it's very important that you understand there is a chain of command. And our Father is on the top. And when we become a follower of Jesus and his blood is applied to our lives, he just doesn't cover us with his blood and cleanse us from all of our sins. He puts on us a mantle of authority. And it's our choice to walk in it or not. And I want to challenge you tonight, whatever you're facing, whatever it is, I want to challenge you to begin to ask the Lord, where do I need to walk in a new miraculous authority that you've given me? And it can be whatever that may be. I mean, a spectrum. It could be you would walk in God's authority to gain wealth and riches for his kingdom. It's totally possible. It happens all the time. God can use you as authority as a doctor to have insight into certain things that are going on. God can use your authority as a parent on how to parent a child that you just can't find. Just can't find the key to them. God can use that authority in your life on how you're having thoughts and you're having thoughts of doubt and thoughts of this. Take authority over it and begin to expect the miraculous of the authority of God to flow through your life into others around you, but through you and starting with you in your mind and your heart. Amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.